Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Well, I think we are keeping the airlines pretty well packed out. Thank God for the new cup for the students that made their way in this weekend. And then we're going to have, Brother Campbell's flying out, Wednesday, I think you said. You're heading out to Gulfport, Mississippi for NCO, Academy, like Academy class. He'll be there 6 weeks, and pray for him. And then Brother Show, you fly out tomorrow morning, right, or Tuesday morning? Tuesday morning. You got to stay back and get a barbecue, and then you go, right? And we'll be praying for you. And you're going to be gone 70 days, is that correct? 73 days. And so we'll pray for you as you head out. And pray for each other as we serve the Lord this summer. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's stand as we read God's word together. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I hope you have your Bible with you. I know I've been to some places where you don't need one, but I guarantee you'll need one here. And we want it that way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Thank you, and you may be seated. Our theme this year has been serving the Savior. And certainly we believe that every Christian should serve the Savior. We are not serving a denomination or a man. We're serving the risen Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I remember someone had asked me one time, when we put our theme out, someone had asked me, who was not in our church, out of the community, and was asking me, he said, "Well, don't you think everyone ought to serve?" And I said, "Absolutely." "So then why would you choose a theme like that? Why would you choose a theme like that?" I said, "Because not everyone does serve. Everyone should serve, but not everyone does serve. There are some people that just do not serve. But then there are some who thank God that they realize that serving the Savior is normal Christian living. It is that which God would want us to do. That's what would be reasonable service, as the Bible says. But what is the important ingredients? What are the things? What makes a great servant? If you were to say, he's a great servant, what do we mean by that? Maybe in a community by here, what do we mean when we say he's a great servant? He serves wonderfully. What would God expect in a godly servant? I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the qualities of a great servant. I don't know about you, but I'm one of these kind of people. I don't like mediocre things. I just think you ought to be all out for whatever you're going in for. If I remember when I've been asked before in job situations, and people would say to you, "Well, what is your goal in working for this company?" When I was in high school, I'd say, "I want your job." Because I just believe that you ought to give it your best. Now, my best may not be Brother Sampson's best or maybe Brother Stone Street's best, but it's my best. I just want to give my best for the Savior. I want to do what I can do. And what God says is that we're all called to be servants. It's all throughout the Scriptures. For example, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says it like this: "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant, it is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Other places. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, same chapter. The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Psalm 100, our theme verse, serve the Lord with gladness. And if we're going to serve the Lord then, if God tells us that we're to be his servant, what are the qualities that we need to have in our life to be a great servant? I look at it this way. If I'm serving the Savior, I certainly want to please him. And in doing that, then I'm going to have to make some choices on how I serve and what are the qualities that I want to have in my life to be a good servant. We're used to that, though, in our world. We know that. Job market being as bad as it is right now and very difficult for people to get work. In fact, if you have a job, you better be thankful to God you have one. And you better do a good job because there are 20 people that will take your job if you don't want it. And they'll take whatever job it is. They don't really care. They'll take it. Something is better than nothing. But if you're going to keep your job and do a good job, a great job, and then they tell you what you need to do. Well, here's some things that is good for you to do to keep your job and do a good job. You know, being flexible, being willing to come in after hours, maybe even be willing to do, you know, things that you're not used to doing. For example, you know, if you're not used to answering the phone, maybe you need to answer the phone and so on and so forth. So there are qualities, things that we need to have in our workforce. It's also true in our Christian life. If we're going to serve God, there are qualities we need to have. And God outlines them for us in these verses. I want you to write them down and I want you to think with me, because the truth of the matter is these are great qualities for no matter whether we're a Christian, whether we work and serve God, or whether we work in an office. These are great qualities. Number one, a servant is honest. A great servant is honest. You know, honesty is something that I believe is lacking in our world today. How many of you would agree with that statement? You know, honesty is something that is greatly lacking. I mean, people have no problem living a pragmatic life and lying whenever it's convenient for them to keep themselves out of trouble. It's a sad world we live in. But I believe that we ought to be honest. I think I told you before that when I became a chaplain, they made me go to a polygraph. And it was kind of strange. I said, you know, I don't mind doing it. It's a little bit unnerving. But I said, going and doing a polygraph, why would you ask a pastor to do a polygraph? He said, because I want to make sure you are what you say you are. Just because you tell me that does not mean you are. And I said, fine. And so even though they did the background, they did all the other things, they did, man, I don't know what they did, blood test, you know, kidney test, you know, you name it. They did every kind of test you can think of. They still made you do the polygraph because they're so used to people lying about what they say they are. A great servant is one who is honest. Are you honest tonight? In other words, if someone pays you for a job, do you report it to the IRS? Now that's where honesty really gets down to the wire. Are you willing to do that? Do you report every dime of money that you get? Honest people always are honest. If you're supposed to be on time at work at 8 o'clock, you're there at 8 o'clock. And you clock in at 8 o'clock. You don't clock in at 7:30. Or you don't get there at 9 o'clock, you clock in at 8 o'clock. That's dishonest. Amen? The same thing is true when we serve our Savior. Let's be honest, because the truth of the matter is, He knows our life anyway, doesn't He? He sees us. There's no dishonesty with Him. He knows right where we are. Now, these are qualities that should be obvious, but here in this passage, He's using that in connection with a soldier. A soldier who serves in the army. A man who would be a soldier must be honest. And what is to be honest with? Well, first of all, with himself. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to realize that you and I, that we have a limited ability. Let's be honest. All of us are sinners. We are just sinners. We're not perfect. Nor will we ever be perfect. And since we are sinners, we are in need of help. And the help that we need comes from the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need help for salvation. I cannot take myself to heaven. I have to be honest with myself. I cannot take myself to heaven. I have to be honest enough to say, I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. But it goes on in the Bible and speaks to the fact, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, not only are we needing help to be saved, but we need help to serve. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't just stand up here and just preach in my own power. I don't have the charisma, the ability to be able to do that. I need the Holy Spirit of God to work in people's lives and hearts. Have to have it. The Bible says it like this in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Do you realize that God says help is available? And honest people realize that if we're going to serve God to sing or to play music or to go out soul winning or to help out in the bus ministry, whatever it is, we need God's help. My need is in the Lord. And the psalmist speaks of that when he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What am I trusting in tonight? What am I looking to for strength? Isaiah tells me, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. The word Egypt has the idea of the world. Those that go to the world to get help. I want to go to God to get help. You see, it's kind of like this. You know, I hope you understand this. I believe that for me, God called me into the ministry. I'm going to go to a Bible college to get training for the ministry. I'm not going to UC Davis to get trained for the ministry. Why? Because UC Davis doesn't train people for the ministry. They try to talk you out of the ministry. I'm going to go to where I can get my training for the ministry. That's the emphasis. And the Bible says that woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Don't go to the world to get spiritual help. They can't help you. Religion can't help you. And the Bible speaks of the fact that there are people who rely on the world and notice what we say, and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. This is what Israel was saying. You know, we're going to go down. We're going to go down to Egypt. We're going to get some help because we're in a warfare. We need some help. Let's go down and get help from Egypt. God says they didn't look to me. Look, if you want help tonight, you know where we need to go? To the Savior. You're struggling financially? Go to the Savior. You're struggling with some personal issues in your life? Go to Him. Don't go to the world and don't kind of seek out the counsel of the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says. But we go unto God. And an honest servant realizes that he has a need. He realizes where he is. He realizes what God can do. So he's honest with himself. But second of all, he's honest with his companions. Who are his companions? A soldier has to be honest with those whom he serves with. A great servant will always be truthful with those whom he serves. If you're going to serve, be truthful. There's a great sense of loyalty to each other. That's what he means. That's what the scriptures are speaking of here. The idea of if I'm to be a soldier, then I want to be honest with the people whom I serve with. It's sad when dishonesty is so low that all employers routinely have to do background checks, blood or urine tests, just to prove that people are what they say they are or do what they say they do. You see, the idea here then is God says that we're to be honest with our companions. Ought to be honest. You know, there shouldn't be any problem with lying and stealing. I still hold to this. If a man will steal from you, a man will lie to you. And if a man will lie to you, he will steal from you. That's the fact. And God says here in the scriptures that when we look at it, there's that there ought to be some honesty among companions. I long for the days when you don't have to lock your front doors anymore. We're not living that day today. You don't lock your front door, someone's going to take everything you got or kill you on top of it. You know, it's just the way it is. And God reminds me of the fact that if a servant is honest with himself and he's honest with his companions, then God can use him. But then there's one more place he ought to be honest, is that's with God. All of us ought to be honest with our God. A great servant realizes that he needs God first for his salvation, and then he needs God for power and service. Jesus says it like this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I can't do anything without him. I need him. And a great servant who's honest recognizes that very fact. We need God more than we need anything else. Probably many of you have, like I have been, I'm going to make a statement here. I'm not trying to make you mad, and I'm not necessarily against all this, but I'm against some of the philosophy of this, and I'll get to it in a minute, and you'll understand where I'm coming from in this, okay? I've been to meetings, business meetings, where they say, if you sign up for our company or become a part of our marketing level, multi-level marketing, whatever it is, you become a part of that, you're going to make a lot of money. And it's going to, just think about it, it's going to change your life. It's going to do this and do that. Now, here's the thing. We don't seek after money. We seek after God. And here's what I want to say about that. I need God more than I need money. Does that make sense? We need God more than we need money. I look at it this way. If I keep my business with God right, God will take care of my living. God will take care of that. And I'm not necessarily against business, you know, associations, but when those replace our walk with God, now we have a little bit of an issue here. Okay? And what God is saying is, let's be honest. We need him. A great servant, number one, is honest. Be honest. Be honest in all of your dealings. In everyday life, be honest. Be a man, a woman of integrity. That is so important. Let me give you the second one. Write this one down if you would, please. Number two, a great servant is always prepared. He's always prepared. The Bible says that if we're going to be a great servant, we have to be prepared. I joke around sometimes. I think I said this, a week or two ago? I was talking about, I was picking on Lorenzo a little bit. I said, Lorenzo, are you ready to preach, pray, or die? And I don't think he liked the last part, but he accepted the first two, okay? Remember, I called him up here. I said, I believe that all of us need to be prepared. You ought to be prepared to die. We never know. I mean, that tornado that ripped through, it's a horrible thing. You guys are amazed about how it just leveled the entire area? Looks like a war zone. Unbelievable. And when we look at that, you know, I just wonder how many of those people were prepared to die. We all need to be prepared. You know, one thing you can't procrastinate is your death. You can procrastinate in the preparation for it, but you can't procrastinate your death. You can't just kind of put it off. Well, I guess I'm going to die sometime. I'll get to it. No, it's going to happen. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for everything that we do in life. Everything. There ought to be a preparation. Hey, a great servant is always prepared. Number one, write this one down, for battle. Verse 1, the Bible says that a soldier is prepared for battle. Notice what he says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's preparation. I need God's grace. I need God to help me. I'm going into a battle. Hey, every day is a battle. Every day. Ephesians chapter 6 says it like this. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is he saying? Had to be ready. Had to be ready to go to a battle. We are not at peacetime. We are in war with the devil. We must arm ourselves every day for the battle. I mean, some people tomorrow, they have tomorrow off. How many of you have tomorrow off? Let me see your hands. Okay, most people do. Some don't. Most people do. Service-oriented type jobs, they do not have tomorrow off. They still work. They run those 24/7, no matter holiday or not. And I'm thankful that they're there. But some jobs you have off. But whether you have off tomorrow, you have to go into work tomorrow, or whether you have to go into work on Tuesday, here's the fact. We get up, it's a battle. It's a battle. I kind of joke around sometimes. I think the first battle is the alarm clock every morning, you know. I notice how some people get up in the morning, you know. They kind of like, you know, they have to set 3 alarm clocks. That's just kind of how they do it. You know, it's hard to get up. But the truth of the matter is, before we ever leave the house, we want to make sure that we are physically prepared, but we need to be spiritually prepared. We have to make sure that we put on the armor of God. That's what the Bible says. Because I'm going to be prepared to go to battle, because I don't know when the devil's going to come. But I know he's coming. I know he's going to come and attack me. He's going to work on my mind. He's going to work on my how I think and my values and my heart. He's going to try to do everything he can to get me away from God and get me thinking like the world and get me turn my back on God and ruin my testimony and ruin my integrity and ruin my honesty. He's going to try to do all that he can to destroy me. And I must be ready in the battle. I must be prepared. Look, no soldier's ever going to go to war and not be prepared. It's sad if they ever have to go and they're not prepared. They need to have their guns. They need to have their they need to be physically ready and mentally ready and all that goes with that for the battle. They have to be ready. And then it goes on in a passage. It says, if we're going to be prepared for the battle, we must be prepared for service. Service. There's a verse back in 1 Chronicles that speaks of that. It says, all the sons of Jadeo, by the heads of their fathers, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers fit to go out for war and battle. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How do you get ready if you're going to go into a physical battle? How are you going to get ready? Well, let's be honest. Number one, there has to be exercise, physical exercise. I don't know. I hear about all these horror stories at boot camp. I don't know what it was like. You know, they shave all the head off and make them run, you know, 10 miles the first night, get 3 hours sleep. I don't know. I hear about all that kind of stuff. We didn't quite have that at college. It was close, but not quite that bad. But how people get up and they get themselves physically fit so that, who knows, one day they might be called, because they have to be prepared physically. You know tonight that God wants us spiritually fit? We have to be ready. I wonder how many people are ready. I feel bad for a pastor to ever enter the pulpit of a church and he's not prayed up and ready to go. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your pastor would ever stand here in the pulpit and he had not prayed 1 minute of the week? What kind of pastor is that? He never cracked open his Bible, never studied his Bible. And I'm not talking about for you, I'm talking about for him. You see, you have to understand the temptation could be with all the pressure of time and all the necessary things that we have to do within a given week that we have with our school and all the other ministries and things within the community and stuff like that. You know, it would be easy for you to spend the only time in your Bibles when you're getting messages ready. But I want to tell you something. I'm not just trying to get messages ready. I need something for me. I still have things that I deal with in my own personal life. I need a message for me. Physically prepared, a soldier has to be physically prepared. But I want to tell you something. great servants of God have to be spiritually prepared. How did Paul face some of the things that he faced? How did he face the lions? How did he face those people who stoned him? How was Daniel able to go into the lion's den? How was others that we read about in Scripture who have gone through so much persecution and difficulty? How could Stephen face the stoning of the crowd? How could he do that? Because he was spiritually prepared. And I want to tell you, it's no different today than it was in their days. We need to be prepared. For service, we need to be ready. And then there's the educational part. To know the strategy, we must know the Word of God. And then the soldier must, as the Bible says here in verse 3, he must endure hardness. Endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if a soldier went into the war, and I know that they have this happen, but they go into the battle, and they're in the heat of the battle, and says, you know, I'm just tired, I'm quitting. What if he turned around and walked off? What would happen to that soldier? I wonder how many Christians are like that. They get in the thick of the battle, and they turn around and walk off. I've seen it happen in churches. You know, when churches go through hard times, churches, by the way, go through hard times. We're not immune to it as a church. There are times we're going to face some hard times. We'll face economic times. We'll face other times. There'll be oppression. There'll be things that we have to face. But are we going to retreat at the first sight of something that's difficult? God says we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, I know that it happens. But God says that's what we need. We need to endure. We need to stick by the stuff. Stay with it. Yeah, it's tough. Yes, it's hard, but we stick with it. Because we're serving Jesus, not ourselves. But then thirdly, we must be prepared for death. And I already touched on that and bounced around that, but we have to be prepared because we never know when God might call us home. I don't know when that'll be. Could be tonight, could be next week, next year, 20 years, 30 years. But we have to be prepared. So a great servant, number one, is one who is honest. He's very honest. There's no doubt about it. There's no question of his integrity. He's not done anything that would bring a reproach on his name or the name of the one whom he serves. Number two, he's prepared. He realizes that it's necessary to be prepared. And in this holiday weekend, as we reflect a little bit on Memorial Day and what these men have done to give their lives for our country, thank God for men who are prepared to die, if that's what it took. But then let me give you the third one. Write this one down. A great servant is focused. He's focused. What's he focused on? Number one, he's focused on his duty. See, we have a duty. We have a job. I know what my job is. Someone asked me, what's your job description? Pastor, here it is. It's right here. I want to follow what my master would have me to do. Paul talks about that. He says, this charge I commend unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. See, a soldier has to, his main responsibility is warfare. He's focused on his duty. That's his duty. And for you and me, we're to focus on our duty. That's our duty. We're in a warfare, folks, tonight. Listen, hey, let's not let the devil's crowd take over the world. Let's war a good warfare for Jesus Christ. Until he calls us home, we're going to keep on serving him. But thou, O man of God, Paul writes, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He says, fight a good fight. He's focused on his duty. Every day when I get up, I want my focus to be on the duty that God has called me. And folks, tonight, listen, all of us have a duty to fight a good fight of faith. Whether, and what it means by that is that when I get up in the morning, whether I'm a student or whether I'm a worker out in a factory or wherever it is, that I'm to just do what God asked me to do. Walk with Him, talk with Him every day, and do my responsibilities to the best of my ability for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the warfare comes when the devil tries to get us off track from doing just that. I'm to focus on my duty. Number two, I'm to focus on my commander. God says this, I will guide thee with mine eye. We're going to want to please Him. That's what it says here. Verse number four, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who's chosen us to be a servant? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hey! Listen, God wants us to focus on Him. On Him. I mean, it's all about Him. It's what He wants me to do and where He wants me to go and how He wants me to do that. How do I focus on Him? Well, the Bible says it like this in Hebrews 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He wants us to focus on Him. It's all about that. It's like the orchestra focuses on the conductor when the music is being played. So it is with us as God's people. The great master, the maestro, the orchestra, the director of the orchestra is Jesus Christ, and we're to focus on Him. And our life is to sing the music for Him. That's what it's about. It's all about Him. He's our commander. That's what the servant does. He focuses on what his commander wants him to do. Three qualities. And honestly, I see all three of those qualities lacking today in many lives. These are character qualities. These are qualities that God can instill in our life if we're willing to let Him do that. I think we all need to be honest with right now, tonight, with ourselves. Hey, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of Him. We all ought to be honest with ourselves, and the fact that the truth is that we need to be honest with God. God knows my heart. I want to be honest with everybody else. I want people to know where I am. I want to be honest. Number two, I want to be prepared. Man, being prepared is so important. You're going to go into a battle. You got to be prepared. Have you put on the armor? When's the last time you stopped and talked to God in the morning before you headed out? Stop and said, Lord, I better put on the armor. Wait a minute, let me get this on. And well, I got to get this on and make sure that my vital organs are covered and make sure that my pick up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. I better make sure I have it all because, Lord, I know that I'm going into a battle because we're not at peacetime. It's not like now everything's like, you know, we're not in this peace treaty with the devil right now. The devil hates me and he's going to try to get me tomorrow. I want to put it on. When's the last time we did that? I'm not so sure it wouldn't hurt us to just write out this passage of Scripture and read it every day. Lord, help me to put it on. In fact, that chapter speaks of the fact we put it on each piece with prayer. You see, I think sometimes we become so worldly minded, we're no heavenly good. We know all about the world, you know, and everything else we forget. And the only way we can change that is begin to get into God's Word and let God's Word get into us. Put on the armor of God. How prepared are you? And then A great servant is focused. Focused on what? Not on everything else, but on Him and what He wants me to do. What is it God wants me to do? I want to do it to the best of my ability. These are the qualities of a great servant. God says we can be. We can be. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for people who want to be great for God. Do you want to be great for God? I didn't say for you, for God. Because it's a strange thing to me. I've noticed in Scripture, and as I read throughout and studied it out, I've noticed that, and this is an odd thing, but there are certain people in the Bible, did you ever notice this? That when God introduces them in Scripture, there are a few exceptions to this, but generally speaking, what God is God has a place for that man or that lady, something for her or him to do in Scripture, and that's all we know about him. You ever notice that? That's it. I mean, we don't know anything a whole lot more about Ruth than the fact that she wanted to get a husband because her other husband had died. We don't know a lot about her life, but we know she had a heart for God. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We don't know about her. There are a lot of no-names in Scripture. I preached a series a couple years ago, if you remember, in the summer, on no-names in the Bible. People who just, they come on the scene, they had one spot, one position, something God wanted them to do, and they were done. That was it. Did that mean they're unimportant? No. It meant that God used them for what they were, and they did what God wanted them to do. See, sometimes I think that we think the only people that God can use are those who are in the limelight. No, sometimes God just uses no-names. In fact, the truth of the matter is, can I tell you this? There is no man who's ever been used greatly of God, or woman who's ever been used greatly of God, hasn't been someone behind them praying and supporting them and being a part of what great things that God's doing in their life. Oh, listen, tonight, let's be a great soldier for Jesus Christ. Let's serve Him. Let's be honest. Let's ask God to help us to be prepared, and let's be focused so that we can do the job that God's called us to do while we're here. Heavenly Father,